A poey, poey, poem. In the hushy, hushy, hush of the empty, housey house, the only thing moving was a mousy, mousy mouse. In crept a boysy boy, looking for a lark, creepy, creepy, creeping in the dimmy, dimmy dark. He screamy, screamy, screamed at a ghostly, ghosty ghost. But all it really, really was a posty, posty post. He scary, scary, scared himself with a squeaky, squeaky toy, and he ranny, ranny, ran away, did the boysy, boysy boy. He trippy, trippy, tripped, and bangy, banged his head, and wishy, wishy, wished he was in his beddy bed. Then he wokey, wokey, woke, in a knotty knot of sheets, with a lump on his heady head, and dirty, feety feets.
That was a poey, poey poem, written and performed by Alexander Hamilton, who we'll be hearing more from in a bit. I'm Annie Rutherford, and I'm really pleased to welcome you to the first Far Off Places podcast, in which we're showcasing work from our third issue, Under the Bed. Far Off Places, for those of you who aren't yet acquainted with us, is a magazine of written whimsy featuring poetry, prose, and other writing with a whimsical slant. And our latest issue, Under the Bed, should be appearing this Halloween, assuming that the technology fairies are kind to us. So you can think of this podcast as a sneak preview. If you like what you hear, go to the Far Off Places website, faroffplaces.org, where in a very short while you'll be able to get your hands on a copy of Under the Bed. We've got a children's story for adults coming up next, and if you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin.
Looking for a bogle. Excuse me, I said. The policeman leant forward over the counter. Yes, boy, what can I do for you? I wonder, have you seen a bogle? A bogle? Have you lost one? No, no, but I'm looking for one. Well, nobody's been in here looking for a bogle in years. I'll look in the book. And the policeman got a great big book out and heaved it onto the counter, licked his finger, and flicked through the pages. I thought so. The last bogle reported missing was... good heavens, that's a long time ago. And he leant forward over the counter. Where did you lose him? It is a him, I suppose. On a walk, was it? That's the usual place. Oh, I haven't lost him, I said. I'm looking for one. Oh, said the policeman. I don't think we can help you there. We don't have anything like that. Not even in the cells. And he closed the book. Thank you very much, I said. I'll try somewhere else. And I walked out of the police station. Next, I went to the railway station lost property office. Excuse me, I said. And the man leant forward over the counter and looked at me. Have you seen a bogle? I asked. A bogle? And he opened his ledger and took the pencil from behind his ear, and he said, licking his pencil, what train did you leave it on? And I said, oh, I didn't leave it on a train. Well, which platform did you leave it on? Was it the up line or the down line? Oh, no, I said. I haven't lost one. I'm just looking for one. Well, we only have lost things here, said the man. If you'd lost a bogle, it would be under B, and there's nothing in the book. And he sighed regretfully. No, there wouldn't be, I said. Thank you. Have you tried the chemist? He said. The chemist? I said. Well, you get all sorts of things in the chemist, you know, he said, putting his pencil back behind his ear. I said, thank you, and I walked out of the railway station. I looked at the chemist. A bogle on prescription? I didn't think so, and giggled. So I went to the cafe. I went up to the counter. Excuse me, I said, have you got a bogle? The kindly lady leant over the counter and said, is that a sandwich or a roll, love? I don't know, I said. I don't think you eat them. A bogle, she said. Have you looked on the menu? I said, no. Is it likely to be on the menu? Phew! Don't think so, love, she said. No, really I don't think so. You could have a cup of tea, though. We've got lots of tea. I said, no, thank you. I don't want a cup of tea. I'd much rather have a bogle. Sorry, love. Try next door. So I walked out of the cafe and I went next door. The shop next door was a menswear shop. I went up to the counter. "Excuse me," I said, "have you got a bogle?" A very round man in a dark suit leant over the counter and said, "Is that with long trousers or short trousers, young sir?" I said, "I don't know." And what size do you want, sir?" "Don't know that either," I said. "I just want a bogle." "I'm terribly sorry, young sir. We've got winter weight and we've got summer weight. But I don't think we've got bogle weight. In fact, I know we haven't." "Oh, well," I said, "thank you very much." And I walked out of the shop. I followed a sign that said, "Garden Centre this way." So I went that way, and there indeed was the garden centre. Everything was in pots. Stands of trees, all tied up to stop them falling over, and pots of plants in row upon row. There were garden sheds, and greenhouses, and everywhere people picking and putting and pushing. My goodness me, it was a busy place. I went to the counter and I said, "Excuse me, have you got a bogle?" "Is that indoors or out of doors?" she said. "I think it might be out of doors," I said. "Do you want to go through there then and ask for Fred?" So I went through there and shouted for Fred. "I'm Fred," said a happy voice from behind a shed. And he came round the corner. He was very, very tall and very, very thin, and he was pushing a broom. And I said, "Excuse me, I'm looking for a bogle." "A bogle?" he said. "Well, bless me, young sir, you've come to the right place, so you have. We've got all sorts. We've got tall bogles, short bogles, fat bogles, thin bogles. Oh, yes, we've got all sorts. Not much call for bogles these days. We haven't sold many lately. They becomes problematical, they does." "Could I have a look at one?" I said. "Of course you can," he said. "Follow me." And off he went with his broom over his shoulder and me following behind. I trailed him all the way round the edge of the garden centre and up a track at the back to a long shed. He knocked on the door and the door opened and I was met by a great gust of noise. It sounded like a good time was being had. "Found a boy looking for a bogle," said Fred. "Just the place, isn't it, eh? He's chum just the right place. Come in, boy," said the figure, holding the door. So I went in, and the shed was full of bogles, just as Fred had said. Short ones, tall ones, fat ones, thin ones, not quite green ones. Every sort of bogle it was possible to get, and they were all having tea. "You're not very fierce, are you?" I said, and they all laughed. And then they all growled, and a couple shrieked. "Oh, yes, you are," I said faintly. "It's 'cause we're domestic, you see. We're just towns and cities. People think we're tame, not like the wild ones. They just spooky woods and caves and such," said Fred, who was also a bogle and had sharp teeth, which I hadn't noticed before. In fact, most of them had sharp teeth, especially the not quite green ones. "Pull up a chair," one of them said. So I did. And I sat there with my bogle friends and had a cup of tea, and had a scone, and then I had another one, and then I had another cup of tea. Then I looked at my watch. "Oh, it's getting awfully late. I'll have to go home," I said. "Don't you worry about that," said one of the bogles, smiling a wide, sharp smile, and draping a very heavy arm across my shoulders. "We'll take you home." So I had another cup of tea, and the cup rattled a bit in the saucer. Not that I was afraid. And when it got really dark, they all got up and said, "We have to go now. We've got work to do. We're off bogling. But we'll take you home on the way." And we all trooped outside. And they put me in a wheelbarrow. And one of the big, heavy bogles picked up the barrow handles and started to push me. "Hang on," I said. "You don't know where I live." "Of course I know where you live. I'm a bogle. We all know where you live." And they all smiled their pointy smiles. I got a bit worried at that. But anyway, he pushed me home in the wheelbarrow. At my house, I hopped out of the barrow and said, "Thank you, Mr. Bogle. It's been a pleasure to meet you." And I shook his hand. "Thank you, young sir. It's been a pleasure to push you," he said, with a pointy, toothed smile. And turning round, he pushed the barrow away, singing softly, "Oh, a bogling we will go. Hey-ho, the bogling bogles, ho." And I crept into my house and crept up the stairs, quietly got undressed and slipped into bed. And I pulled the covers over my head and wondered what constituted bogling.
Now, Alexander came all the way from Argyll to Edinburgh simply to record these pieces for us, which I have to say we're really quite flattered by. Although I believe he made good use of the time and managed to get in a stop to see some of Edinburgh's famous book sculptures as well. Given that he'd journeyed so far, we thought it was a good chance to find out a little bit more about him. So, what's your name and where do you come from?
Alexander Hamilton, Teviotdhe, Argyll.
And where's your Back of Beyond?
I live in it.
Can you tell me a bit about it?
It's the second highest hill farm in Argyll, the remains of an historic township that dates to the early Middle Ages. There are recumbent standing stones, which means it dates to the late Stone Age or whatever. 2,500 years, people have been living where I'm living.
And what's your ideal midnight feast?
A very good whiskey and a bit of rich fruitcake.
That does sound good. And you write crossword clues without the crossword, so to speak. Can you give us one?
Yes. You can't haul a sail up this on the shore.
Curious? Well, we'll tell you the answer at the end. That's it from us for today. Thanks to Alexander Hamilton, not just for his wonderful reading, but also for coming quite such a long way to see us here today. As I said, that is the first podcast for Under the Bed, which should be available this weekend. If you liked what you heard, do go to faroffplaces.org and download your very own copy. You can also get the magazine through iOS Newsstand. So if you like to read on an i of any kind, really, then do check that out. We're really quite chuffed with it. We'll be back in a fortnight with some spooky pieces just for Halloween, so do check back then. But for now, I'm going to go make sure that our three weird sisters have enough eye of bat and toenail of toad. If you want to see how our spell making comes on, then do like us on Facebook, Far Off Places, or follow us on Twitter. For now, though, ta-ra, and do watch out for bogles.
Do you want the answer?
That'd be a good thing.
Beachmast.